There's a new kid in town called EMMA. It stands for Enhanced Media Metrics Australia. It's a way of measuring the readership of newspapers and magazines. There's the Audit Bureau, which does circulations, but readership information's much more valuable. And until this week, it was only offered by Roy Morgan Research. EMMA comes from Ipsos. It's taken more than 4 years to develop. And the independent consultant, John Grono of Gap Research, has been in the meetings from the beginning.
If you ask people if they've read a newspaper, they tend to remember yesterday's newspaper extremely well, the day before not quite as well, and a week ago poorly. So we went out and tested that, and what we found is that that was true, so we had empirical evidence. The existing system currently does all its fieldwork on Saturdays and Sundays, and therefore you tend to get really good results for Friday newspapers and not Monday newspapers. We now go into field every day of the week, so that day of week bias has been removed from newspapers. On the flip side, with magazines, we used to show what's called a stylized cover, so a very generic Clio. We still use that, but to work out whether they've read a Clio. But when we ask them about Clio itself, we show the most recent title, so they can say, well, I read one of those three. So we can work out the patterns of readership and the depth and the weight of readership. So it's much more precise, and we can do that because we're actually conducting all the fieldwork online. That's the big difference.
Yeah, so the supplier of information on this for years has been Roy Morgan Research, and one of the things they have said is, well, we do ours face-to-face. That makes it better.
In some things it certainly does, in others it doesn't necessarily, and I think that example of the newspaper shows that. For example, if you knock on a door on a Saturday afternoon and you're trying to get people at home, who are you going to get? Do they represent the people who are busy people or are out on the weekend because there's only a few hours they've got? There's a chance of bringing in a response bias when that happens, and what we've done is try to remove that response bias. We make sure the panel represents the population, so the correct number of men and women, young and old, the correct geography, the correct educational background. So it's all balanced and represents it. Rather than being purely random, knock on the door, yes, no, we're actually stratifying that sample to make sure we get all the little cells and blocks of Australia correct.
How else is it different? Are you asking different questions?
A lot of it's very much the same. For example, the standard question around the world is, have you read or looked into this title for 1 minute? So that's been preserved.
1 minute?
Yes, 1 minute. That's the international standard.
That's a very low bar.
Yes, it is a low bar, but and there are potentially some issues with that, but we think we've got a trap on that one. But as I said, it's the international standard. We're trying to fit in with that. But, of course, we also ask how long you read it for. So, therefore, deeper into the data is, in essence, their engagement levels or durations with it.
Right. So the main difference is that you're doing this essentially every day. So people only have to remember back one day.
Well, for the newspapers, yes, but for the magazines, it's longer than that. But as I said, we show them the title. So take, for example, Women's Weekly, and you had the Royal Baby. Now, that's going to spike readership. So people, it might spike the recognition of the cover. But because we asked the last 3 months of covers, they can say, oh, yeah, I read the Royal issue, but I didn't read the other two. So you can eventually work out whether that spiked or didn't. I mean, Morgan does use that, but in a different way. I mean, every Friday afternoon, hundreds of magazine covers around Australia update into the database. It's live, bang, like that, as opposed to being printed and next time you knock on a door.
Let's go back a bit further. How big are these surveys? If somebody was to approach me and want to survey me about my readership, how long would it take me?
You mean the duration of the interview? Mm. Well, we've actually split the interview into three parts. And as I said, it's online. So we recruit them and they say yes or no. We actually recruit them by telephone, right? And when we do that with telephone, if it's a landline, we know where they are and we know what sort of people we need. For example, we might ask, we need a male 25 to 39 in the household. But we also recruit using mobiles, right? Which is a little bit more difficult because you don't know where in Australia the person on the mobile lives. But what we do is we ask what's called the core readership questions. And that's a survey that for the typical person who reads a couple of newspapers and a handful of magazines might take 35, 40 minutes. And that's online, right? When they finish, they then ask, do you want to do the next part of it? They get incentivized for each part. So they go into a big prize draw. And they go to the second part, they get more, in essence, more lottery tickets. So in that second part, we ask things like engagement and affinity and how they read, how long they read. So the depth questions gets asked in that second part. So you start with about 50,000, the top part. About half, about 25,000 do that depth. And then they're asked at the end, do you want to do some product information? And we ask about 12 broad product categories, and about, again, a half of those go through. But the core is readership, so that's the whole 50-odd thousand.
Now, how does that differ from the Roy Morgan approach?
Well, I'm not really sure all of the details of Morgan's system, but I didn't build it, and they don't have a technical committee per se, like we've set up with Readership Works and most of the others do. There are some advisory bodies, but...
And they're famously quite secretive, aren't they?
Well, you said that, didn't you?
All right. So the first early results came out this week with this new metric, and there was some scepticism about them, primarily because all of a sudden newspapers and magazines look like a much better bet.
I think the thing you've got to remember is the audience hasn't changed. Just because we have a new provider, it's exactly the same out there. All we're doing is using new updated methods to measure it. And I want to hark back to two things. One is that we're now doing the 7-day a week, so we will be definitely picking up more readers on Monday, newspapers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So that will automatically, because we've got it right, increase that average. And if you look at the data, you'll find the weekends haven't gone up as much in newspapers as the weekdays. And that sort of de facto shows what we're trying to prove. And with the magazines, we provide much better stimulus. It's also filtered, so you're not constantly going to a show code going, no, none of them. And you might actually skip over one and go, no, I'll leave that at no. There is a potential we might have overstimulated people. By that I mean they've walked past the Woolies checkout, or they've seen it in the store and they recognise the royal baby and they say, yes, I've read that. We've got a couple of little tricks in there, and they're not actually tricks. We just ask them, where did you get that copy that you read from? Where it read, and how long did you read it for? And they went, geez, I'm not sure. We're pretty sure they didn't actually read it. They just recognise the cover. So we try and filter that out. But one of the other things I will say, some of the data that went out there was actually monthly data, so not the average issue. And the reason that was done is for the first time we have electronically fused the Nielsen online data, which is the reading of the .com sites, with the hard copy print. Now, the Nielsen data is reported on a monthly average, so we've rolled up the print copies to a monthly average and put the two together. In essence, you're looking at the cumulative audience across the month rather than the people who read an individual newspaper, i.e. you only need to read one of 28 and you're going to the bucket.
Is it a big enough market to have these two different competing metrics? Because for many years, decades, it's been Roy Morgan Research. Now there's another one.
The market will decide that. I mean, the market's not flush with funds. I think some people will trial or have both for a while, but the market will decide where the currency is. And we use the term currency because I represent the media buyers. I've sat in that room for 4 years every week for a few hours, making sure, in essence, it's the Don Chip role. We're trying to keep the bastards honest. We want to make sure that they're not rigging the numbers. So, I've put in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. My default position is everything's wrong until I can prove it's not wrong. And I have not found anything there that I think is wrong. So will people buy too? Long run? No. Nobody can afford to do that. Medium run? Probably. And the best service will win.
It is going to be very, very interesting. That's John Cronow from Gap Research. And we'll get John back on before the end of the year. This is the Media Report on RN.